Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Astrology Radio with your host, Janet Hickox, human design consultant and intuitive astrologer. At Living Astrology, we are tapping into the wisdom of the cosmos to uplift, empower, and enlighten people to their personal genius. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and with me today is my lovely co-host, Jason Lannis. Hello, Jason.
Hello, beautiful blue-eyed goddess. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. You know, have I ever told you how good you are for my ego?
Are you kidding? I don't make up bullshit. If you were not good-looking, trust me, I would be talking about your teeth, something I could find that was... So I can tell you, it's a pleasure to be able to say blue-eyed goddess, because when I look at your picture all the way out there in Washington State, I think, oh, my God. Thank God she is taken, because, you know, even though this is not my week for girls, I don't know, I'd be chasing you. Janet, tell me, because sometimes we run out of time. Tell me where people can get a hold of you, please.
Great, great, Jason. I love the way you micromanage me. It's just perfect.
That's a Capricorn.
I'm a Gemini. I'm flighty and all over the place, and he's very grounded and very practical, obviously. To find me on the web, you can go to www.living-astrology.com, or as time goes on here, you're going to be able to find me at janethickox.com. I've actually owned that domain name forever and haven't done anything about it. I'm about ready to point that domain to the same website, so you can either use my name or go to Living Astrology. So
that's
in that
wonderful.
Same vein,
so
Jason,
how
can people reach you?
But first, so what I heard from you, because you go fast sometimes, is that it is janet@living-astrology.com. Is that correct?
That would be my email address. That
wonderful.
Is the email
so they
address.
They can reach you there, and that they can also go to your website, which is
www.living-astrology.com.
Wonderful. And the people out there that are interested in tarot card readings from moi can go to my email. They can hit me up directly there, which is easiest. Zen Staging, as in Zen Buddha, Zen Staging, one word, @gmail.com.
Yay!
So that's yay. So I wanted to pick up some stuff from last week, because I got a lot of people emailing me about the subject because they were really turned on and jazzed about last week. So before we go any further, because I know we have an exciting lady coming on to talk to us about dating and fun and love and romance and all that. Lisa's on the line with us, and she'll be coming in just in a little while. But I wanted you to please pick up, if you would, for me, the situation with Hoboken, which is right near me, which I think is really interesting because of what we talked about last week.
Right. So last week we actually pulled a chart for Hoboken and talked about some of the pressures that the city was under as far as astrological pressures. And so interestingly enough, today is the first day that Mercury is actually parking itself at a new degree, one that it hasn't been at over the last 9 weeks of its little transit backwards and then its forward dance. And so what emerges in the news today, this was just before I even got on to the show today, I noticed that there was a new piece of information that came out about the train was clocked doing double the speed it was meant to go as it was entering the station. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We're watching astrology in action here. As Mercury gains new ground, a new piece of information comes out that sort of points us in a direction for the purpose behind or the reason behind this very horrible accident that occurred just last week?
Yep, last Monday.
Yeah. So interesting, as we, you know, you're the one that got me kind of tuned into watching astrology in the news, because over the, it seems like suddenly astrology's everywhere. And so interestingly, we also talked about the 13th sign last week, and at your urging, we're going to do a show next week all about the 13th sign. So I want people to call in next week to find out what their new sign might be. And I'm going to be using the book.
That is really, really exciting.
Isn't that going to be fun? I'm going to use the book called The 13th Sign, The Zodiac Has Changed, So Have You, Find Out How and Why, by Mary Frances Abamonte. Now, I've actually put out an invitation for her to join us next week on the radio show.
Oh,
she hasn't yet.
Great.
She hasn't yet responded, so I'm hoping she will join us. If she doesn't, you and I will dive in together, and we will explore this topic in a little bit more depth than we got to do last week. So it'll be fun.
I am very, very interested in finding out. Because, like I said, people have been contacting me, and it's great because I know last week people felt a little more reassured that, you know, their whole life hasn't been a sham. Right? You know, like, oh, my God, I'm really a Gemini.
Capisagian or something like that?
Something like that. So I'm really excited about next week, about the show. And I hope that she does contact you, because it would be great to hear it. What other expression do I know? Except from the horse's mouth, as they say.
Correct. So if anybody out there listening knows Mary Frances Abamonte, please have her contact Janet@living-astrology.com, because I would love to have a conversation with her about this. So,
let me ask you, I haven't been to your website in a little bit, Living Astrology. Do they know that the show is on every Thursday?
The show is on every Thursday. Hey, do you want to hear a little piece of synchronicity that I came across, you know, today as I was, you know, wandering through the park, musing on my life and what's going on in my life?
When you say that, I have this idea of like bluebirds chirping and, you know, all that. Yes, I'd love to hear a little bit about your Mary Poppins moment. Yes.
It was really my Loki moment, because Loki, the dog that's my daughter's that I take care of during the week, was bounding around and dancing around me, wanting me to play with sticks. But my mind, was working. And I went back to a day earlier this week when I was driving. You know, the best ideas happen, one, when I'm in the shower and I can't get, you know, to my phone or any writing utensil. Or two, when I'm driving and same thing, can't get to a writing utensil and really shouldn't be on the telephone. So this idea struck me, and the idea was this, that we have this gigantic gas giant named Jupiter, who is going to be spending the whole of the year, the rest of 2016 and a good chunk of 2017 in the sign of Libra, and Libra being all about relationships, that we could structure almost the entire rest of, all the way up until October of next year around subjects that have to do with relationships, i.e. compatibility. The reason I decided today to do the dating show, because that kind of opens us up into the whole idea of how do we form relationships. And so as I was walking through the park, I was musing about that, and I went, oh, dang, that's too funny. My show's on Thursday. Thursday is Thor's day. In Roman mythology is Jupiter. And
I love
how fascinating of a synchronicity is that?
I love that.
So all along, I have been tuned into Jupiter without even really realizing how tuned in I was to Jupiter, to Jupiter. Kind of fun, huh?
Well, I think that's really fantastic that all of those little bits of synchronicity came into you while you were, you know, gliding through the park with Bambi.
Bambi, definitely not Bambi. But hey, guess what? I had another little quinky dink while I was in the park today.
Okay,
and,
I'm listening.
You know, sometimes, you know, the dog comes up to me, by the way, when I'm sitting at my desk trying to prepare for the radio show, and he takes his head and he pops my arm up. So if my arm is on the mouse or my hand is on my mouse, his head is up underneath my arm. Pay attention to me. So I look at him and I go, what the hell do you want?
Yeah.
And he just looks at me with these eyes, like he gets all excited. And I go, okay, I know what you want. You want to go for a walk. You're telling me get off your butt and go move.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, I will oblige you in this. So we're wandering through the park and I see this woman and I go, oh my gosh, I know her. Loki takes off after her, right? And I'm like, oh, he's going to, you know, scare the heck out of her because he's silent and he's just running up. Well, it happens to be this woman that I know who's just written a book. And I asked her to be on the radio show, but we just haven't been able to connect. So here we are in the park and we connect on her new book called Cultivating Compassion, Simple Everyday Practices for Discovering Peace of Mind and Resilience. And wouldn't you know, we're chit-chatting about how we're going to get her show or get her book on the show. And we're going to talk about, I said, it'll be perfect. You know, it's November. We'll get you in the show and people will start the whole stressing over the holidays and all that kind of stuff. And wham, bam, another Jupiter moment occurs. Wouldn't it be awesome? Because as we're facing the stress of the holidays, what is it about the holidays that stresses us out? Usually, it's the family. We're having to get together with people that we, you know, try to avoid at times and the people that you have to go and visit because they're your family. And of course, what are our families? That's relationships. So here we have another little quinky dink around our Jupiter in Libra theme. So we'll be talking in November with Amy Colvin is her name. She wrote the book, Cultivating Compassion. Simple Everyday Practices for Discovering Peace of Mind and Resilience, about how do we get through the holidays and how do we keep peace of mind. So there we go. Two synchronicities in one day.
I have to tell you one of my favorite quick short stories. I am 48 years of age, so one of my idols growing up was Johnny Carson. And I just thought the world of him. And one of my favorite metaphysical moments ever, hands down, Johnny had Shirley MacLaine his show.
Love her.
Right. And, of course, this was right when she came out with Out on a Limb and Walking in the Light and Bracing the Night and all of her night and all that wonderful stuff. And I remember this crystalline, wonderful, deadpan moment when Johnny said to her something along the lines of, so, Shirley, now that you have these books out and, you know, you've been such an icon in our world when it comes to the theater, when it comes to movies, and now you're walking in the light and you're doing all of this enlightened stuff. What's it like to always be so enlightened? And she looked Johnny straight in the face, and then she swung her head around right to the camera and said, Johnny, don't get it twisted. I like to think of myself as walking in the light as much as possible. And then I go home for Thanksgiving. It was Johnny spit his coffee up. Yeah, Johnny spit his coffee up. I lost. I thought, oh, that's just brilliant. She's like, I am always walking the light until I go home for Thanksgiving.
The holidays.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. Well, I'm excited to hear about, this next week's show, Officious. And I'm excited to hear about this lady that will be bringing in the holidays. However, unless you have something else to talk about with respect to Jupiter, I would love to bring in our guest, Lisa, who is in the queue with us, to talk with us today about dating. And, you know, for the fact of the matter is we're going to be focusing on our gals that are 50 years plus and some tips for them. So if you are ready for Lisa, I will bring her on in.
Yes, please bring Lisa in. So the topic of the show today, as Jason has alluded to, is called Successful Dating Tips Every Woman Should Know with a Touch of Astrology, because obviously we have to bring astrology into it. We're talking about Jupiter and Libra and relationships, so we're going to start with dating. So let me introduce Lisa. Are you there with me, Lisa?
Hi, Janet. Hi, Jason. It's nice to be here.
I am so glad to have you on the show. This is, by the way, everybody, Lisa Copeland. She is a leading internationally recognized expert and dating coach for women over 50. She is also the author of The Winning Dating Formula for Women Over 50 on Amazon and is a regular contributor to The Huffington Post, The Huffington Post Women, numerous online and offline Tribune News Services newspapers, The Examiner. Her website, findaqualityman.com, was named one of the top 5 online dating services by The Examiner and one of the 10 best senior dating blogs by datingadvice.com. She hosts the weekly You Can Find Love After 50 show on Going Solo Network Radio, and we are pleased to have her here today on Living Astrology Radio. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, it's so fun to be here.
We are a fun bunch.
Yeah, I think you are.
We have our
too.
Moments, let's say. So,
So how can I help your audience with dating in general?
Well, you know, there's lots of juicy tidbits and places that could go with this, I guarantee it. But what I really want to start with is tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be known as the dating expert. I mean, there's got to be a great story behind this.
Well, I don't know if it's great, but I can share with you how I got to be known this way. I was married the first time. I've been married twice. Very common with people to have two or three marriages, especially after 50. And mm-hmm. my first marriage was 24 years. I came out. I was clueless. I did really stupid things, like post on my profile that I wanted to have a romantic time on the beach while I attracted every sex derelict that was ever online. And I posted pictures with my dad, and people would say, is that your ex-husband? I was like, I was clueless. I was in my 40s. Online dating was pretty new. So it's crazy. So Jason likes that.
Oh, God.
So I ended up in a relationship that was not good for me, but it seemed so right in the moment because this guy looked at me with like gaga eyes. I found that I felt like a movie star or something. And a lot of times we stay with the wrong people for these quirky reasons like that. Mm. Well, when I was out of that man said to me, Lisa, you don't know how to let a man be a man. And I'm like, what? I've always gotten along with men.
Yep.
You know that, Jason? A lot of women don't.
No, I hear you 100%. You know, it's funny because as opposed to Janet, who has been betrothed and happily married for 30-some-odd years, I am 48 and dating, and I coach my friends all the time. You know, in this, and it can be really tricky. And what I tell people a lot of times is that, you know, they always say, oh my God, dating is so much work. And you hear them bitch and moan, and I say, listen, being in a relationship is work. Dating is work. It's all work. It's just different kinds of work.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Even being single is work. Because you have to occupy yourself.
Right, because then the work is all about finding the relationship, right?
That's right. Well, or it's also getting to know yourself again, too, and because we're so entwined as a couple when we come out of a relationship. But to continue the story, I got married the second time. We were married 2 years. Also really common over 50, a very short marriage, and I heard those same words. He said, you don't know how to let a man be a man. Plus, I hope you find someone who will make you happy. And I was like, what? Well, the first time it was, you know, a little off, but I've heard it twice. And I thought, I've always gotten along with men, but something in relationships wasn't clicking. I did go back to my first husband who said, no, I did not emasculate him, but apparently I did others. And this was like the beginning of this journey into men, and then I took it into over 50s dating. And I found that there were so many women out there struggling with dating. And that's why a lot of women come to me. They know I've been there, done it in my 50s. And it makes them feel like, wow, this gives me hope, and I can do it too.
Right. So now you're focusing on women over 50, and I'm sorry, Jason, I'm stepping on you, I'm sure. But the tips and the information that you have for us today really can be applied across the age spectrum, couldn't it?
Yes, they can.
Oh, good.
They really can. It's just a few of them are just a little bit towards women over 50, but you could put them on all of them. I personally don't coach women below 47 because I don't want to get into the children issue. And a lot of that happens with, there's a lot of minor children still and Gen Xers with kids. So that's one of the reasons I stayed over 50 because that's really what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you can apply
that's
it.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's fantastic.
Right, but we can still apply the tips. That's the good news.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So for our listeners today who might be under 50 and women, we still have some tips and things like that, you know, will work for them.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I have a question for you, Lisa.
Okay, Jason.
If you had to tell me what the three, let's just take the top three biggest mistakes women make in dating that, you know, keeps them from getting the right guy. Or to be perfectly frank, I suppose this can be applied to anybody. Like, I don't want to exclude my lesbian sisters out there. It's just dating in general. Tell me, what would be the top three biggest mistakes when it comes to women dating out there?
Great question. I think one of the biggest mistakes that women experience is they give their power up to men.
Mm.
And they go on a date, and, well, first they let them choose them. They don't necessarily have a clear vision of who they want. When I work with private clients, we create what's called a quality man template so women know who they're looking for, because we have this tendency to continue to go after our type. And our type is not right for us, or we would be with them. This is talking about divorced people. Or we would be with them. So what happens is women go online and they just start letting men pick them because they don't have that clear vision. And they go on the date and they show up as someone different than who they are. I was working with a client today, and she'll be the first to tell you she would show up as this nice person. And she would not even be herself on a date because, and I remember doing this too, I was so worried about what would a man think of me, instead of thinking, is this man also needs to prove himself to me, whether he's worthy of me. But as women, we want to be loved by everybody, so we give up our power in that way, you know, letting the man be the chooser and not making the man step up to prove that he is worthy of us. I would say that's a huge problem, and we lose our power this way. The second biggest mistake women make, is they think their power, that I was just talking about, comes from masculine energy, because that's what we were taught, to step on men to get ahead. Whereas our feminine energy is what triggers a man's heart, and you want a man to trigger his heart because that's how he's going to fall in love with you.
Can you do me a favor and go a little deeper into that? You just said something very fascinating, which is one of the cornerstones of what I tell people when it comes to dating, especially my heterosexual male friends, when it comes to their interactions with women. You said that you, as women, are trained to what?
We're really trained to come from our masculine side. Women's Lib was amazing for helping us get jobs. Also made us go to a masculine side, and we started to compete with men. And in the business world, if you found a lot of women struggled, they were called bitches, or they were called C-word.
Yes. Oh, I love the C-word.
Well, I'm not going to say it. You can.
No, Janet will end up lambasting me for the next month. I can't use that word. But you know that it's extremely on point what I'm hearing from you, because I would go on and tell you about my own personal story, because when I first started out, I've always been a crazy Greek bisexual, and when I first started out dating, I had a girlfriend for 2 years, and I have to tell you, I'll make it a quick one because I don't want to step all over you, but after about 2 years, I realized I had lost who I was in the relationship, and we ended up breaking up, and I had a fascinating conversation. I was putting myself through school, painting houses, and there was a lady who happened to be the judge of the town that I was in, and she was this wonderful, Chanel-wearing suit, fantastic woman, mid-50s, or early 60s, and she liked me because I would listen to classical music while I was painting. And she said, what are you going through, sweetheart? And I told her what had happened. Oh, I broke up with my girlfriend. And she said, have a cup of coffee with me. And what she said to me was, fascinating. She said, let's get a couple things straight. You are good looking. You are intelligent. She said, do you know what makes you ultimately attractive to a man? And, I was just like, I'm hung. And she laughed. She said, I'm Greek? She said, no. She said, what makes you ultimately attractive to a woman is that you're a man. All of the things that you might not like about yourself, the crotch, you know, scratching, burping, smelly dude, you are a man. And that ultimately is attractive to us. But here's the trick, Jason. We as women have been brought up to think that we are secondary citizens. And so, because we think this way, we've gone out of our way. Once we get you, little by little, we chip away at you and we emasculate you. We turn you into something more identifiable to us. And she said to me, sweetheart, we make you pay for every sniff, let alone every lick. Do not lose your manhood. That's what makes you attractive to a woman. Don't be abusive. Don't be a dickhead. She said, but if you start to lose what makes you a man, you're dead in the water. And I thought,
that's interesting.
Wow, what a fascinating thing.
I agree. I've worked with a lot of private clients who are pretty high-powered in their jobs, and they were attracting beta men because of control issues or whatever. And they found that even though they liked making decisions with their job, they didn't want to make all the decisions in a relationship. It wore them out. And they wanted someone that was going to make them feel safe and protected and provided for to the best of their ability. These are powerful women. And it was once they got this about letting a man be a man, they found that they were able to attract relationships and they were able to come into their true feminine power, which is getting a man to step up and be your hero. And that is what we weren't taught, is to let a man be our hero. We were taught we can do it as well, if not better than men, and that we don't need men. And so this is really a hard thing for many women because we don't understand how emasculating we are with our language and with our tone and with our criticism and analysis of things. And we can be pretty tough on men without even realizing it. We think that we're being nice, and men say, why are you being so mean? You know? So, yeah, that's a big thing.
Lisa, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around that concept. I mean, obviously, it's because I've been in a relationship for too long and not on a dating scene. But give me an example of what you're talking about. Can you? Either one of you.
Yeah, you've been in a relationship for a long time, so you established your roles probably from when you were young, and you each have your strengths. But what happens is when you're single and you've been doing it all alone for a long time, you learn to be pretty proficient at at really taking care of everything, and you stop needing someone because you didn't have that luxury of needing someone. You had to do it yourself. So an example of this would be like I had a boyfriend once who was a world-renowned electrician or something, and like Goodyear and Firestone, and all of them sent him around the world. He tells me my dimmer switches on my lights need changing. And I come up behind him. He goes, he gets everything. He's so proud. You know, he's doing this for me. And that's the thing we don't realize is men need to feel needed. Right, Jason?
Yep.
Yeah,
it is very important for us to feel useful.
Yes.
I hear from women all the time, you know what? I don't care if he's butt ugly, as long as he's confident. It's such a huge turn on for a woman. Oh, he's confident. And then, they've done all kinds. I'll tell you, it's very interesting. I read a very interesting cross-cultural examination study. And it doesn't make a difference whether you're a gay man. It doesn't make a difference whether you are a woman. And I'm sorry to all of my shorter brothers out there. But they did cross-cultural analysis over time, and they found out that the men that are taller have a much higher rate of success with women because women feel that taller men are instinctually protective.
Yes.
Instinctually.
Right. I hear that from women a lot.
And you know what I hear from women too that makes me laugh? they get together with a guy, and the guy would say, where'd you like a guy to dinner? And they've had it with deciding these things. They would like a guy to say, if you don't mind, I'm going to take you to this Indian restaurant. And all of a sudden, the parameters are set. She doesn't have to think so much, and it shows that he's got a pair of balls.
Right. Right. Oh, women really like it when a man takes control. So with my electrician and the dimmer switches, I come up behind him and, do I know anything about electricity? Absolutely not. But I start saying, are you sure that wire goes with that wire? And this man, and this was what we as women love, he took my face in his hands, he looked me in the eyes, and he sweetly said, Lisa, you got to let me be a man and do my job. If not, I'll never do anything for you again. But he taught me this lesson about how men, number one, they need to do their job the way they want to do it. And we as women come in and we tell them how to do it. Men hate that. That is totally emasculating. They're mm-hmm. smart. They mm-hmm. know how to do it. It's just different than how we do it. And so when we criticize them and tell them how to do it, they feel less than in our eyes, and no man wants to feel less than in a woman's eyes. He wants to be seen as someone that can do the job and be your hero. Does that help you, Janet?
It. Got it. Yeah, I mean, all I'm thinking and seeing is how, you know, you're not going to catch me going out and looking at the mousetrap to see what is in it. That is what
right.
he's for. So I
right.
really value the fact that he does not mind getting his hands dirty. I'm not doing it. And I really love the fact that he's going to be the one to look under the hood of the car and tell me whether or not I need oil and all that kind of stuff. I just don't feel like that's my place. It's not my strength.
Exactly.
It's not playing
exactly.
to my strength.
But
it is
with women, that have been single a long time and have had to do all that.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
It's hard to let it go. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most difficult things in the dating world because single women are used to doing it all alone. There was no one there to do it, and that's hard for them. But that's
if I may
what
make
men
an
need.
Analogy, which you know, some people are probably going to go up in arms with me of this. But at the end of the day, we're animals, and guys. There's a reason why they talk about guys being dogs. You know, you get a big worker dog, and you don't give him something to carry when you take him out on a walk.
Yeah.
That dog is just going to be unhappy. You got to know which dog you're dealing with and how it is that he's operating. You guys, it's interesting. I'm hearing this, and 1,000 thoughts are going through my mind. When I think about my, God rest her soul, my strong-willed, iron-fisted Greek psychic mother, I mean, she ruled the house. She was a strong woman. I know damn well that when I go out there, I'm looking for a strong woman. But at the end of the day, Big Daddy gets his say. That's important. That's very
yeah.
important for the dynamic.
And that's hard for women that have had their say for a long time. So it's learning to speak the language that men can hear that allows the woman to say what she needs to say without emasculating him.
So Lisa, to recap, it is making sure that the three biggest mistakes are, give it to me again.
Well,
we kind of went all over the place. So
yeah.
one was coming from your empowering yourself when you're out there, that a man has to also prove himself to you, not to give your power away where you bend like a pretzel to make yourself different so he likes you. And by
okay.
the way, one thing that would help women here with this, we have such a hard time with rejection. We really do. Like I said earlier, we want everybody to love us. What you want to think about is all of us in our minds have a picture of who we want. So all that's happening is we are not fitting the picture of who they want. It doesn't mean they're rejecting you personally.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that you don't fit the picture, just like we do the same. Like, women do the same with men. The man doesn't fit the picture of who they want.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things. The other thing was, well, there are a lot in there. The other one is be careful of always going after your type. Like I mentioned, the biggest thing I do with my private clients is that quality man template so they can see what's really going to make them happy. Your type, would have made you happy a long time ago if that was the right person for you. The other one was, well, since we got into men, it's allowing men to be men and to make them feel needed. Most women, not most, but a lot of women, it's very hard, especially when you're used to doing it all on your own. It's very hard. And, I mean, there's a zillion other biggest mistakes that people make. It's people think they can go online, put a profile up like the Field of Dreams, and they will come. And they're finding, men are not coming to view them. And there's lots of reasons that that happens. The first is your profile. And a lot of people put profiles up that are not interesting and pictures that are horrible. And really, I have seen men love sharing pictures with me that they've seen of women online, and they say, she needs your help. And
right.
I'm like, well, oh, yeah, she could use it. They put pictures up where they're not smiling or where they actually look masculine.
Yes.
Men don't want a masculine woman. They want a feminine woman. They don't want to compete if they're not into dating men. You said yep, Jason.
Yep, big time, because, you know, I'm on two different networking sites, and I guess it's kind of out there that I've been a stylist before, and I tell these guys, what are you doing when you have this sallow look in your eye, like someone has just ripped your heart out? Why would you take a picture like that? Why would you take it at this crazy angle? Is your hair on purpose? The first thing I say to people
is your,
is your hair on purpose.
That's funny.
On purpose, you know, and this is the best one. Lisa, you probably heard this before. Some God bless these people, because I just not everybody is good at everything, and I suppose I'm being a little cruel, but screw it, we're having fun on the radio today. Somebody who takes a picture of themselves in their bedroom or in their room, and the room is ramshackled. They've got everything from dirty underwear hanging from the chandelier to like an unmade bed. And you think to yourself, no matter how good that person looks, I ain't ever dating you, no how, no way. You're a slob. And
oh,
it's
my
like,
gosh, that's great.
How could you possibly take a picture like that? Or better yet, taking
the
a picture
bathroom.
With another. Oh, God. Taking another picture. Wait, take another picture with another guy. I don't care if he's your cousin. I do not care if he's your brother. What could you be thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll
so
tell you, 50
of your cats. 50 of your cats.
Yeah.
Darling, that is way too much pussy in one picture.
I had a guy show me this picture of this woman who must have been in a public restroom, because there were like 10 stalls behind her in the mirror. And who is going to date someone that does that? No one.
Not unless you're into a fetish, and that's a different show.
Or the
that's
thing
not
is,
mainstream dating.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Or there's a desperation that, or in the moment, I'm going to take this picture and I'm going to post it on a profile because I'm lonely and I need somebody. So thought really goes into what it is that you're going to attract by doing that, or not attract, as the case may be.
That's sad. There's some bad pictures.
Not to bring the show to a grinding halt, but, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's interesting. And I think to myself, okay, she doesn't deal with people who have children. Understandable. Got it. That's a whole different dynamic. Do you ever come across lesbians that come to you and say, oh, I'm not being successful? And I guess, I mean, like, what advice do you give them? Or do you sorry, I'm not your gal for this?
Well, let me back up. I do deal with women that have minor children just in their 50s, and I've been amazed at how minor their children still are. So I do deal with that. I work with women with that. No, I have not had lesbian women come to me and talk to me about any of this.
There's your new book. There's your new book.
Lesbian
no
love. I don't even know what to tell you.
I know. I realize you're not an expert in that field.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, so
underlying all of this is the search for love, right? That's what everybody's looking for, that
yes,
connection, that relationship, that search for love. Why is it so difficult to find love? Is there a way to make it easier?
Well, I think one of the difficulties for women is we grew up on fairy tales. And I remember when my divorce ended, or my marriage, my first marriage ended after 24 years. And I literally thought Prince Charming would come in, sweep me off my feet. He would pay for everything. He would pay for everything. I could keep my own money. And we would never argue. I mean, so there's that was an illusion. But, you know, as you could tell, it's a fairy tale from what we grew up on. So I think the biggest problem is people are very afraid of failing at love. They don't want to make a mistake again. So they start looking for the perfect person. And I've seen people write profiles that sounds like you're going up to the Wendy's drive-thru to get a person. It's as if, do you remember the Jetsons and Jane Jepsen used to put all the meals into the computer and everyone got their own meal that came out? That's how I feel some people treat online dating. Like it's, so you can put your order in and that person will come out. So that's a big problem. And a lot of us think we know what will make us happy. Like we think qualities like they have to ride a bike or they have to run with me. That's not what's going to make you happy. It's a person that's really going to be there through the thick and the thin with you that's going to ultimately make you happy, that takes care of their side of the relationship, and it is giving to you, and both of you can give and receive. And Janet, you've been in a long-term relationship, so you've created this with your husband, this give and take, you know, balance. But and you know of everybody that it's not a fairy tale. It is work to keep a relationship alive. And, but it can be fun and very rewarding.
I you know, and so, you know, frankly, it's just, you know, I think in my situation, at least, you know, I've been blessed with someone that is just perfect for me, but that doesn't mean that we hadn't worked through a whole host of issues. We had four kids, you know, you can just guarantee that there were issues that came up with that, and, you know, various deaths and, you know, just the things of life that come up that do have sort of the effect of tearing people apart at times or bringing them together. So it's definitely a work in progress. I don't think you can ever just say, oh, you know, we're in a relationship. You got to actually work at it. You know, in an astrological sense, I talk to people all the time about relationships and, you know, you started to say something earlier about it not being personal, and that's exactly right. I mean, there, just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't mean it's personal. There's an energetic shift that happens between people, and you can clearly see it in a human design chart for sure, as to why people are drawn together and why people are not, and or, you know, qualities in one person that kind of pushes another person away by pushing their buttons, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it still takes time and it takes effort on your part to find the right person. And it doesn't mean that you're doomed to not find the right person. You just have to look in the right places. It cracks me up how many times I see women who ask me the question, when am I going to fall in love? When is that knight in shining armor coming? And I really just want to say, well, are you looking for him? Are you going into the right places? Well, I go to the bars every week. Well, okay. So you're going to the bars and you wonder why you're not finding a quality guy. And not that guys that go to bars aren't quality, but I mean, you're kind of looking in the wrong place, I think, if you have a different template in your mind for what kind of guy you're looking for.
Well, that's the key. This is why I said earlier, most women do not have a clear vision of who they want. It's more of a hodgepodge of what they think will make them happy. I think men have it too, but since I work with women, I see it all the time. And you can meet men anywhere, by the way, and there are men in the bars. But a great place to go is a meetup. I had a client that could not go online because she was being stalked by her ex. So we worked together, and we found her places to go in real life, and she met an amazing man. Meetup. It's a great place to Yeah, they're everywhere. They really are, right, Jason? You're everywhere.
You know what? I have to tell you, because it really depends on what vibe you're putting out there. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I believe that dating sites are good, and it's a certain amount of work, but you can meet somebody in the grocery. You can meet somebody
mm-hmm.
at the gas station. It's about the energy you're putting out. Lisa, I wanted to go back to something that you said that it's the only thing we haven't really expounded on that I
sure.
think is kind of really a big deal. And I'm sure some people are wondering, well, what does that mean exactly? Because I definitely have my views on this, but I'm far more interested in hearing it from you, the expert. You said people want to date their type, and that's not necessarily what they need to make them happy. Can you please give me an example of what you mean? Because I would love to give you my take on that.
On what women's types are?
You said to you know that women should not date their types because if their types were working, they would have someone.
Yeah. So really, part of what our type part of what our type is we oftentimes date people that match a family of origin parent that we didn't get along with or that had issues. So
there
what do
we
I
go.
Mean?
Now we're getting to the nitty gritty. There we go.
So,
say that again. Say that again for all these people who are out there clueless.
Okay. I'm going to give an example, too. So we often date people. Our type is usually someone we choose that has the issues of a parent, a family of origin, that we couldn't work out with them. So, examples. A lot of times parents are emotionally or physically unavailable when a child is growing up. This is a real common one. And what happens? Women look for emotionally unavailable men because that type feels
mm-hmm.
like they've known them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they have. They've known them since they were born. Whereas if you went with someone who was emotionally available, it's scary because you don't know what that feels like. So it's really healing the wounds that you experienced. And I help women with this all the time. We go back in and we deal with the children. Dating is way more complicated than just a profile. We bring our baggage with us
yeah,
that
no
we
kidding.
Will repeat unless we heal it.
Right, right. Good thought.
Mm-hmm.
Good thought.
Very, very
What were your thoughts on that, Jason?
Oof, I got a lot, but I know that we're coming to the last sort of 15 minutes of our show, so I'll make it quick. This is sort of what I've come to in my life. You very often will hear people, and I tell them this to really pay attention. There is a gentleman who wrote a book called Dr. Greg Scott Peck, I believe his name is, The Road Less Traveled. And he talks about the difference between being in love and love. Now, when you are in love, it is what I like to call from my very first therapist, thank you, God rest your soul, Alice, deep, meaningful obsession. It feels deep, it feels meaningful, and it's also a goddamn obsession. It's not real. And what do I mean by that? Your whole life, you have been creating a fantasy of the person it is that you want, and I will continue to say that. A fantasy. And all of a sudden, you come up against somebody that flips a switch, trips a switch, and you start projecting this fantasy onto them. This is very often why you'll hear people say, oh, that one, she falls in and out of love all the time. Well, what's going on there when you hear that is that you're projecting that fantasy on someone, and all of a sudden you spend, I don't know, a day, 3 weeks, a month, a year, and by this point you're already in a relationship. You're sticking with somebody because you have this fantasy in your head, and then all of a sudden, they start to define out from that fantasy and show their true selves. And it's no longer congruent with this fantasy, and when that happens, hence, you fall out of love. Now, for me, personally, the definition that I've adopted is to love someone, like, for instance, Janet, I can honestly say, I love you. Now, what does that mean? It means that after me in my life, I am putting energy or a good amount of energy towards your spiritual growth, your spiritual nourishment. Now, that's called loving someone. You can do it to a child, to a partner, to a relative. It doesn't make a difference. And that kind of love is real. It's concrete. You can build a history with it. But this other shit, pardon the expression, of projecting your crap from childhood that you haven't worked through in therapy to only have it come undone a month, a week, 10 years later. Oh, my God. My sister and I used to pray that my parents would get divorced, and it took them 36 years. Yikes. So when you talk about the type, it's something that people, I think, is a real pitfall for people in tune with what it is, and the profiling of making something that's good for them is so important. So that's my speak. Sorry for boring you all.
No, I agree with you. I agree. We look for a fantasy. We try and fit the square peg into the round hole, and when we suddenly see that, we're disillusioned. That's part of it. I think there's all kinds of things that go into choosing people. It has to do with our childhood. It has to do with our fantasies, like you said. It has to do with this perfection and this fear of failure again. And there's a lot of it that makes love really hard to find. And the fantasy like I had, and we would never have an argument. That was ridiculous, but that's what we grew up with. You ride off with Prince Charming and live happily ever after.
Well, that is a really interesting problem, a conundrum, as we would say in human design, as, you know, we have this conditioning, and the conditioning has us looking for and believing that Prince Charming is out there or he's going to come and save us, and then we don't mm-hmm. find it, and the reality strikes us that, you know, there are bills to pay. There are mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, these realities that we're not prepared to deal with. And in that case, perhaps somebody lets us down, right? And then what? The whole idealistic concept of the relationship falters. But I think that happens even in strong relationships. There are mm-hmm. I can tell you there are times in looking at my own relationship with my husband that, yeah, I think I let him down and I believe that he's let me down. But the point is that there's still love there enough to go, okay, why did I set myself up for that? Right? What am I learning about
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a certain amount of responsibility you have to take in how you're showing up in the relationship.
And as you know from being in a relationship, people fall in and out of love in that relationship. So why is it hard when you're coming into this at 50? Because when you're in that phase where you're not feeling all lovey-dovey with someone, you think, I'm done.
Mm.
And you think that lovey-doveyness should be forever, especially you did it so hard the first time. You know, you got divorced. It was really hard. Well, this should be better. But the problem is because we choose the same people over and over again, the same stuff keeps showing up. Now, I do want to go to a positive side of this, though. When you can face, what I have women do is I have them look at their warning signs. What triggers you when you're with a man? Because this is what you have to remember. Oh, am I choosing the same guy again? Am I having the same fantasy? You know, am I wearing rose-colored glasses all the time? These are called warning signs, and they really help you get clear on who you're choosing. You're setting a new intention of, it's time to choose what will make me happy, not what I'm used to. And that includes chemistry, which we could talk about another time. That's a big problem with anyone looking for love, is this chemistry
Janet,
thing.
Janet, will you have Lisa come on again for Valentine's Day, please?
Oh, Lisa, yes. We should have you come on for Valentine's Day, and we'll talk about something new. Now, we are really low on time, and I feel really bad because I thought we would get to some readings, but it appears that we got off on other subjects that were very interesting, I might add. But I want to give you a moment, Lisa, to tell us a little bit about where people can find you and more information on this subject. You have a book that you've got out, and I understand you also have a free gift you want to share with our listeners today.
I do. Thank you, Janet. My book is on Amazon. It's called The Winning Dating Formula for Women Over 50. And people have told me that they've given this book to their children. So when we started the show saying, will this help everybody? Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then I also have a free report on my website called The 5 Little Known Secrets for Finding Quality Men. And the reason I love this report is because most people stay within 2 to 5 miles of where they live, and they go to the same places over and over again. And when you do that, you're not seeing all the possibilities. So you can get that report on findaqualityman.com. And there's all kinds of great things on there for you to take a look at and to find out more about how you can really happily date and have fun. The goal is fun, people. It's fun to date when you really know what you're doing and when you're open to the possibilities.
And if they want to get in touch with you for coachings and such, how do they do that?
They can go to my website and look at the coaching tab, and they can actually apply for a free 30-minute session with me. I only have so many openings on my calendar to do that, but I love helping women find love. And if that's something that interests you, go to findaqualityman.com and push the coaching tab on the navigation bar, or you can write to me at lisa@findaqualityman.com if you have any questions, and I'll be happy to help you out. And really, it's about all of us are here to help you find love. It's, and you can. You really can.
I know.
A lot of my clients sure do.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's going to have to be the last word today. And I thank everybody for joining us and listening to Lisa Copeland, the woman with the note. She's got her pulse, or she's got her finger on the pulse of dating. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope to see you back again in February for Valentine's Day. Jason, thank you so much for being my co-host. And next week, join us for the 13th sign and find out what your new sign might be. For everybody, have a stellar week.
Bye now.
Bye. Thanks, Jason and Janet.
Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page